Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this day and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, you would draw us closer to yourself. And God, that your Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, that we would give ourselves over to you and, Lord, listen for your voice. And I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Today, I just am really excited. We've got a special speaker. And what I want to do before she comes up is ask this question. What is the most at-age group or age range, most at-risk age range in relationship to coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? Right, it's somewhere between 14 and 24. And really, if you think about it, as children who grow up maybe going to church are likely to do as they get into high school and then into college. It's a time when they begin to make their own decisions, life decisions sometimes, and become more independent. And sometimes becoming independent, they are less likely or less inclined to come to church, especially when they get to college. Decisions are made, and Sunday mornings are just another morning to sleep in. So it becomes an at-risk group, in that students may just leave the faith or walk away from the faith, whereas those who never knew God or never were in relationship with God, never went to church as kids and through high school, they come to college and, again, they are not necessarily exposed to a relationship with Jesus Christ, or they could be. One of those campus ministries that really seeks to help college students either A, stay in relationship with God, or B, come into relationship with God, because this is a time where really life decisions are made, is Campus Crusade for Ministry. And Campus Crusade for Ministry, their desire is to draw people into a relationship with God, one student at a time, if necessary. We have today with us a young lady from the University of Michigan. She just graduated with a BS in psychology and has been impacted in her life by Campus Crusade. And I've asked her to come and share her story. She called earlier this spring wanting to know if she could talk with you. And it just so happens we are doing this series on witnessing. And so I ask Josie Lindberg to come and to share with us this morning. Josie, if you'd come up and share.
Well, thanks, Pastor Paul. I'm really glad to be here. I think it's awesome that you guys have been talking about witnessing lately. And so today I just want to share with you why I'm so thankful that people witness to me just about Christ, even though I probably made it pretty difficult for them sometimes. I'm thankful for their persistence. And so I hope this story will just encourage you as you hear just about the ways that God works and the plans that he has, and just by how he wants to and is able to use us to draw others closer to himself. So like Pastor Paul said, I grew up here in Heartland, had a typical life. I grew up with both my parents at home, and I have a younger brother. And growing up, my parents just worked hard and loved to provide for us everything that we needed. And my life really revolved around school, my friend group, dance. I was very serious about competitive dancing, and also just making my parents proud. And in terms of my spiritual life, we had little involvement in church. My family would basically just attend on major holidays, but it didn't really influence our daily life. It was just kind of something that we tacked on. And I also had the chance to go to a Bible camp every summer with a friend. I heard the gospel there, and I really liked the idea of having Jesus as my Savior. And some part of me wanted the relationship with God that I saw the counselors and staff had, but I didn't really know how to pursue that. And so I called myself a Christian, but my life during the school year wasn't really affected by my experiences at camp. And so my life growing up continued pretty normal. And then before and during my senior year, I started applying for and choosing colleges. And I'd always heard that college would be the time of my life. And so I was really excited, and I was expecting that to be true. I was ready to move on and to begin my real life. That's how I was thinking. And so when I was accepted at the University of Michigan, I had no particular desire to go to that school specifically, but my parents were so proud and they encouraged me to go. And I was thankful that they were helping me get through school and I wanted them to be proud of me. So I agreed and got ready to start the next chapter of my life at U of M. And I never saw it coming, but my foundation really began to crumble when I went off to school. I began to realize that I couldn't do life or anything really on my own. And the Lord began to show me his presence in my life through some circumstances and some people. So first, as I started classes that first semester, I was struggling academically for the first time in my life. I'd always described myself as smart and I'd earned straight A's all through school, but for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like that was true of me anymore. It was really disconcerting for me and I felt like I'd really lost a part of who I was. And then on top of that, I tried out for a few dance teams at U of M, but I didn't make the cut for any. And so on top of the academic difficulties I was having, that made me feel even more lost. And I'd always thought of myself as smart and as a dancer. So I started to wonder, well, who am I if I'm not those things? And then finally, I also really felt the loss of my close friends. I'd grown up with the same friend group from first grade all the way through 12th grade here in Heartland. And without those girls in the picture, I felt really alone and just unsure of myself and where I fit in. I was beginning to feel pretty unhappy. And so to fill that gap, I decided to join a sorority. I wanted to replace my friend group and the security that would come with it, and I thought sorority life would offer me what I thought was a normal college experience. But sorority life wasn't what I expected either. I really struggled to feel accepted by the girls, and I felt a lot of conflict about participating in the parties and especially the drinking that are so common in sororities and fraternities. I didn't really enjoy those things, but I didn't know how else to connect with these girls who I saw as my only potential friends. So I want to read Ephesians 2:1-3 again. It says, "And you are dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." With the choices I was making regarding drinking and partying to meet my relational needs, I also began to feel a deep sense of guilt. And like the passage describes, I felt stuck in disobedience to God, like I was doing whatever was necessary to fit in, even if I knew that those weren't the right things. But I didn't really feel close to God, so I just kind of tried to ignore the guilt and the disappointment that I was experiencing. And instead of having the best time of my life, I felt like I was just going through the motions. Then in the middle of all those transitions that first semester at college, God placed three unique people in my life that each played a role. The first was my roommate, Josephine. She let me know right away that she was a Christian, and I said that I was too, but we didn't really see eye to eye on a lot of things. For Josephine, being a Christian seemed to mean following a set of rules. I often felt judgment from her for how I spent my time. For example, one of our first nights at school, before we even knew each other at all, I told her that I was going to be gone at a party for the night. And she said, "Well, don't come back and get sick in our room." And so that's not an unreasonable request, but it wasn't communicated with a lot of love, and I was kind of hurt by the assumptions that were behind it. And so as my foundation was crumbling that semester, I didn't really feel that I could be open and honest with Josephine about how I was struggling. Then another person God placed in my life was a girl named Kayleen. Her room was right across the hall from mine. And Kayleen was unlike anyone I'd ever met before. She too was open about being a Christian and having a relationship with God, but she became friends with everyone in our hall. And she was truly able to share her faith with us because she got to know us. Her kindness and her confidence were attractive to all of us who got to know her. And she and I had three classes together that semester, so we spent a lot of time together and got to know each other really well. And I felt safe around Kayleen and accepted as a friend, even though I didn't think I was quite as religious as she was. So when things started to get hard with school and my sorority, I began to turn to her, and she gently reminded me to turn to God. She would say things or just ask me simple questions like, "Josie, I know you've said you're a Christian. Have you tried praying about how you're feeling?" I know it makes me feel a lot better when I talk to God about things. Or she would say, have you read your Bible lately? A lot of times that reminds me that there's a bigger picture, which helps me stay grounded when things are hard. And as we got even closer, there were times when Kayleen would even pray for me, which was so touching. I think it also must have been pretty brave of her, but she didn't seem to care if I thought she was weird or anything. She just wanted to help. I remember one night I was really distraught, crying to her about how I was sure I would never amount to anything because I was no good at organic chemistry. And after talking to me and listening to me, she just asked if she could pray for me. And I don't remember exactly what she said, and it wasn't a long or elaborate prayer, but I remember feeling a sense of hope, like God cared about me even though I'd felt so distant from him. And then the third influential person that God placed in my life that semester was Ashley, a staff member from a Christian group on campus called Crew. My roommate Josephine had expressed interest in Crew early on in the semester, and so Ashley would stop by our room every couple weeks in hopes of meeting Josephine and helping her get involved. Whenever she would stop by, though, Josephine happened to be gone, and so she would just try to get to know me instead. I had a sorority sign on my door, and she'd been in a sorority when she had gone to U of M, so she would always invite me to check out this Crew Bible study that was for Greek girls. I wasn't interested, and usually I thought it was kind of weird that this person I didn't know was so persistent on getting me involved. But at the same time, she was beautiful and confident. I saw the same love and sense of peace in her that I saw in Kayleen. And she had been in one of the top sororities, and I just didn't get why she cared about me. I felt a tension between wanting to blow her off, but also feeling flattered that she seemed to want to know me. As I started feeling more and more hopeless, as I continued to struggle with school and my sorority, I began to look forward to her stopping by, and I appreciated her kindness to me. I went home for Christmas break that freshman year, and not much happened. Then I came back for a second semester, wanting a change and a fresh start. And after a few weeks, I finally decided to accept Ashley's invitation and give Crew a try. I figured it might make things better. About a month into that second semester my freshman year, I started going to a Bible study for sorority girls. I saw more people living out their faith, and like Ashley and Kayleen, I believed that they actually cared about me. Every week I heard the gospel at that Bible study, and now I was ready to hear it. After Kayleen's friendship, and especially after Ashley's persistence in getting to know me, it began to be believable to me that God wanted a relationship with me, that maybe he loved me in the same way or even more. Now I look back and just see how no matter how many times I essentially blew her off, Ashley just kept trying to show me love and get to know me. And I'm amazed at what a great example that was of how the Lord is with all of us. And so through my second semester, my freshman year, I began to realize that the grace and the love and true life offered to us by Jesus were exactly what I was looking for. But then right as those wheels are starting to turn for me, I had to go home for the summer. And I tried to continue to figure out my faith as I'd been doing at school, but I also tried to assume my normal life in Heartland. It was hard to make changes with my friend group, especially when they were so into drinking after a year at college, and they were so used to me being just like them. And I struggled with temptations and with my friends that summer, but I still felt a tug at my heart to surrender to God. And the last straw came in July that year, just about 3 years ago. I came down with mono. And if you've had mono before, you know it's no fun. So during that time, I felt really abandoned by my friends. I faced my physical weakness on top of the emotional and spiritual weakness I'd been feeling all year. I was really faced with my inability to control my life. I was finally ready to say, Jesus, I don't want to keep doing things my way. I'm yours, and I thank you for being my Savior, but I need you to be my Lord as well. Please take my life and just change my heart to love you and desire to do things your way. And that's what he did. So I'll read Ephesians 2, 4 through 5 again. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. The changes, the friends, and eventually the mono were really God showing me his grace and mercy so that I could turn to him and finally find the true life I was looking for in Christ. And I'd done nothing to earn that or even really seek it out. but the Lord saved me nonetheless. I returned to school for my second year of college soon after that, and I was committed to following God. So first of all, I moved into my sorority house. But I was able to connect with the girls as roommates more deeply than I'd been able to at parties. Matthew 9:36-38 says that when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." The more I got to know these girls, God gave me compassion for them. I saw that, like I had been, they were hurting because of their separation from God. And I started to see past their fronts of happiness and satisfaction and see how they felt they were missing something. Or as I now realize, they were missing someone. I became thankful for the incredible opportunity I had as an insider to talk with them about who Jesus is and how God loves us. And as Ashley and Kayleen had shared their hope in Jesus with me, I longed to tell my sorority sisters about him too. Also, my attitude towards academics had changed. For the first time, I felt free knowing that my worth wasn't tied to my grades. Ephesians 2:10, which we read earlier, says that we're the workmanship of the God of the universe, and knowing that has given me so much freedom from the need to perform or impress. So on top of the improved situations with classes in my sorority, God provided the support and Christian friendships I needed through CREW. I began to seek God with friends who loved him too, and as I began to pray and read the Bible more and more, I became more aware of God's presence in my life, and I was able to grow closer to him. In addition to the community I'm so thankful to have had, God has used CREW in essential ways to help me grow and live out my faith. I began to learn how to clearly and effectively witness through CREW my sophomore year, and this has been such a continuous fuel to my own faith. So the first time I tried witnessing was on a trip with CREW. We'd gone down to Panama City Beach, which, if you don't know, that's where all the college students go on spring break to party. And we just tried to meet people on the beach and talk to them about their values and beliefs. And I was so amazed to see that many of the students I met were really searching for something to believe in. I was so scared and intimidated to share about the faith that had become so precious to me. But it was incredible to experience that God would give me the words to say if I asked. He would calm my nerves, and he would fill me with his love for and interest in people that I hadn't even met yet. And after that trip, I began to seek opportunities to share my faith with students at U of M regularly throughout the school year. There's always a wide variety of students' reactions to the gospel. You never know how someone's going to respond. But in my experience, students have been thankful when we show interest in getting to know them. And they're willing and eager to share about wherever they're at on their spiritual journey. And so a lot of times witnessing is like getting to be a fly on the wall to see the story that God is writing in someone else's life. And each time I have a conversation with someone about their beliefs, I'm just struck by the reality and power of God. In my senior year, I even had the privilege to lead a peer to Christ. And all I did was pray before walking up to her and asking her if I could talk with her about what she believed. It just so happened that she'd been wanting to learn more about Christianity and had basically just been waiting for someone to explain it to her, which is crazy, but the Lord loves to do things like that. And it really just takes trust and availability on our parts. So my experience and training from CREW has also allowed me to take opportunities to share the gospel with my family, my sorority sisters, and other people in my personal life. Especially as my sorority sisters saw how dating and the way I spend my free time and studying and the way I planned for my future all looked different because of my relationship with Jesus, and as they began to trust me as a friend at the same time, they would ask me where my hope came from or why did I care so much about Jesus. And often, I was able to share with them the awesome truth about how Jesus offers us a second chance to live as God planned for us in a relationship with him. And so some of my close friends have started coming to church with me, or they ask me to pray for them often. And I'm hopeful that as we stay in touch, they will trust in Jesus too. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." And I'm so thankful that God has allowed me and continues to allow me to plant and water the truth in some of my sisters' lives. And I'm hopeful that God will make awesome things happen from those conversations. So finally, an area where I've felt most life, joy, and purpose from Christ has been in mentoring younger girls and helping them grow in their faith. My junior and senior years, the Lord allowed me to lead a Bible study for Greek students through Crew. And what started as a group of three eventually somehow grew to a group of 15. And it's been such a privilege to mentor and teach girls who are looking for Christ as I was. I've been able to share my love for Jesus with my little sister in my sorority, Christian freshmen who've joined my sorority needing support, and girls from other sororities too. And I'll have a lot of responsibilities as I go on to work with Crew next year, but I'm most excited to continue working with these girls. In particular, three girls that I've mentored and led the last 2 years will take over as leaders, and I'm so humbled to be able to continue working with them as they reach out to their peers and fellow members of Greek life with the love of Jesus. And so by sharing my faith with my peers and encouraging younger students with the truth of God's word, I've felt not only joy, but also a sense of purpose that I'd never experienced before any other way. And so I never thought that I would end up working as anything less than a doctor or a lawyer, much less a missionary to college students. But I'm so excited about what God has done in my life and how he's led me to this point.
Well, Josie, thank you for sharing. And I don't want to let you off the hook that easy yet. I've got a couple questions for you. In regard to the three young ladies that were used by God to speak to you, your roommate Josephine, what happened with her down the road? She didn't connect with Ashley. Tell us about Josephine.
So actually, it's really funny. When she went home for the summer after our freshman year also, God just put people in her life through her church at home who helped her realize just all the good things that God had done for her and how she hadn't done anything to deserve them. And her heart was just softened. And she and I have become such close friends. And it's really great.
So her relationship with the Lord has shifted also.
Yes.
And then Kayleen, who lived across the hall from you. Tell us about Kayleen now.
Still also one of my closest friends. And she was involved with Crew too throughout college, and she has just been able to encourage and share God's love with so many other girls who see the same things in her that I did. She was kind and loving and loved the Lord. So,
now Ashley, who you really tried to push away, tell us how you felt. I mean, really felt when she was approaching you early on, trying to ask you about your relationship with God or trying to encourage you to go to this Greek girls Bible study?
Well, early on, right away, I basically just thought it was really weird. I was like, why is she talking to me? Like, why does she care so much? I don't want to do a Bible study. That's weird. So, yeah.
So you thought she was weird, but it seems to me that something won you over that she was doing. What was that?
I mean, she was just really kind to me and really wanted to hear about how I was doing, and she just seemed to care. And so eventually I really appreciated that.
So she was really not just trying to get you to a study. She was really wanting to build a relationship with you.
Yes, totally.
Now, you also mentioned about going to spring break and witnessing. You said you began to share conversations with other students or try to have conversations with kids who were going down to spring break. How well did you feel initially doing that, and how long did it take you to get comfortable doing that?
At first, I was super nervous, especially just because I remembered how weird I thought Ashley was when she had tried to share her faith with me. But I just stepped out in faith, and like I described, I saw cool things happen and saw God do some cool work. And even now, I have more experience, so I'm less nervous, but I still get nervous when I'm about to go witnessing or whatever. But
it's always an exciting thing and maybe nerve-wracking at times,
mm-hmm.
to know that you're about to share probably the most important message you can, and not wanting to say wrong words to offend people, but finding out that by speaking to them, maybe what we thought was bad was something they really needed to hear.
Right.
So the last thing you spoke about, a lot of what CREW does is build relationships. It's not necessarily cold calling on people or knocking on their door so much as building relationships so that you can introduce Christ to them.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. One of the things I want just to share with you real quick before Ashley leaves us is that, and I like how she said it, there was a young lady that she met and she wanted to share Christ with her and really found out that this girl had been waiting for someone to share Christ with her to help her understand God better. We don't know who's waiting in our lives that needs somebody to share Christ with them. We may feel apprehensive about it. We may not know maybe what we think are the best words to share. But just stepping out in faith and allowing God to lead you and to begin to share maybe what God is doing in your life as a starting point in sharing Christ with others is the best way to go. Because we never know when God is asking us to plant a seed or to water or to help bring the harvest home. So we want to be able to be ready, always be prepared to give the reason for the hope that you have within you. Right before we leave, let Josie go. She's also trying to raise support for being a campus minister with CREW. And if you are feeling God speak to you about giving to Josie, there's two things you need to do. One is go to a website called give.crew.org. That's give.cru.org. And on there, or on that website, you'll need to have the staff number 0814223. That's 0814223. And you can go to that website and you can make a one-time donation for Josie, or if you'd like to begin to support her on a regular monthly basis, you can do that. Or if you would like to do a bank transfer or credit card, you can do those kinds of things also. That's for Josie Lindberg at give.crew.org, and the number again is 0814223. Minimally, go on there and just check that little box that says prayer partner and be a prayer partner, lifting Josie up as she does the work of the Lord in a very interesting place. We call it college, and helping kids to not shy away from God but to come to God. So thank you for supporting Josie, and again, listen to God on this and go out to that website, give.crew.org, give.crew.org, and it's 0814223.
Thanks.